interesting. There was a wave of optimism brought up here yesterday when the details come out. But as you might have just heard a moment ago, we had Captain Dan making the observation, the devil is often in the detail. He has some doubts about the effectiveness of this structure. And, of course, other people are warning about other matters as well that may throw a spoke in the wheel. Like, for example, Advanced Cairns Chairman Nick Tromp. He has warned in the Cairns Post here today that state border lockdowns could render the support ineffective. And he's on the line, the Executive Chairman, Advanced Cairns. G'day, Nick.
G'day, John.
You're not alone with this concern. Some are holding their breath, but it's a very significant number of days now without any community transmission in Queensland. Is it a genuine concern, do you think?
Well, you'd think not if you thought about it in a pragmatic way. But what we've seen over the last 6 to 9 months is there hasn't always been a pragmatic approach to border closures.
No.
It's been, frankly, at times political. Yes, health has driven a lot of the decisions, absolutely, but frankly, at times it's been political as well.
Yeah.
You'd have to hope now, more than 2 months since the last community transmission in Queensland and very few cases in Australia these days, that and with vaccines being rolled out progressively, that surely there'll be a bit more discretion shown and less rapid responses. But you can't control that, as we saw over the Christmas break when the Victorian government locked thousands of Victorians out while they're away in New South Wales on their holidays. So yes, but as I said, as you quoted out of the press, wouldn't it be dreadful if all these people from southern areas booked wonderful tickets to our part of the world in this great sale and then the doors shut and they couldn't get in?
The other point just came up too about, well, they can't book till the 1st of April, which seems to be in some ways a real negative for those people who fundamentally lose their support base at the end of the month or 28th of the month. And then, of course, before the impact really flows through with these people, extra people coming into town, there's going to be slim pickings.
Yes, it is a really difficult period, and particularly for businesses, John, that are exposed to the international market. It's really important that your listeners would understand, and I'm sure they do, that the Great Barrier Reef in Cairns is a bucket list trip. International people come here and willingly spend a lot of money. The spend profile for domestic visitors to our region is not as high. The great hope, or the fervent hope, is that if it costs them half as much to get here on an aeroplane, then maybe they'll put that into a trip to the reef,
yeah,
or to the rainforest, or on SkyRail. So remains to be seen what the spending pattern will look like, but early indications are that it's going to be a very strong domestic tourism season, subject to borders, and there will be a lot of domestic tourists here over Easter. Some of the five stars are sold out already,
yeah,
and we'll certainly see June, July jam-packed with domestic tourists. How that plays out for those businesses that are more internationally aligned, how many of those will go on those experiences, only time will tell. It won't fully fill the gap, but hopefully it will do something.
Got to say, your timing in attracting a visit today by the boss of Qantas, Alan Joyce, couldn't be better given the number of questions that are going to be put to him. The last couple of days, it's interesting how often this date, October 31, fundamentally 7 months away, has come up for the reopening of international travel. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, we've just had Dan saying, well, you know, it's being brought up a lot, but is it really practical? Is it really possible? We had the Prime Minister and Josh Frydenberg yesterday. The body language wasn't really excited about Alan Joyce once again repeating this October 31 date.
Yeah, that's I've got to answer that. Probably only time will tell, John. I think the reality will be is that would be a wonderful outcome.
Yes.
But we are seeing some countries in other parts of the world having a bit of lumpiness with their vaccine rollout. It's going relatively smoothly, quite smoothly in Australia, albeit not as quickly as they wanted. But there's a distinct possibility, in fact, I think a fair likelihood, if I had to take a guess, an uneducated guess, that the October deadline might be a challenging one to meet. But that will come down ultimately to decisions at our federal government level, but also decisions by other governments. So, for example, New Zealand, well, it's no good if New Zealanders are welcomed here with open arms if they can't go home if the border's shut the other way.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way street with opening of those borders.
Now, the details today, for example, you're going to be sitting up there, I would imagine, with Alan. What sort of questions would you like to see put to the Qantas boss?
Yeah, look, it's funny you should say that. I'm just working on them at the moment in preparation. So, you know, your timing is immaculate in that sense. But there's two streams of questions I'm going to ask him. One is I'm actually going to ask him, you know, what's it been like running a business with 30,000 employees where it just gets tipped on its head every minute of every hour of every day?
Mm.
Like his job has been one of the most unenviable jobs of any business person in Australia in the last year or so. Mm. So it'd be interesting to get a few insights in that on a personal front. But at a Cairns sort of level, the types of questions I'll be asking him are around immediately what sort of responses they had to the sale and
yes.
the initiatives announced yesterday.
Yep.
And how does he see capacity responding? Will we see more planes coming in May and June than we otherwise would? But then longer term and more importantly, when might we see, as you alluded to earlier, flights back to markets like Japan and Singapore, which yeah. are the two most important markets for us to get restored? When might they come back? And also, with COVID occurring and other countries like Korea and Taiwan that weren't flying directly to Cairns, they're obviously not going to be going to the Northern Hemisphere in a hurry, those tourists. So you wonder whether there's not scope to introduce some services from some of those countries too over the next year or two, because clearly the Northern Hemisphere is particularly troubled. I mean, the data out of Brazil yesterday is just horrible. The American numbers are improving, but they're still pretty bad. So you'd have to reckon that people in the Asian region who want to travel probably going to look south rather than north. Mm. So I'm going to get a sense from him as to, hopefully get a sense from him as to what their ambitions might be for Cairns at a domestic and international level.
Is it a lunch or a dinner with Alan Joyce?
Oh, we're catching up with him this evening, yes. So I imagine he'll be doing some other meetings this afternoon, but I'm not privy to his full program.
Yeah. Can you put to him his thinking on the restoration of Qantas on that Cairns to Japan, Japan to Cairns route? I think it's very interesting.
I might just read a question to you which says, where are we? Excuse me for a moment. I'm just going to find that question. And it says that, is there any likelihood that we could see full-service planes Cairns to Narita again? So I am going to ask the question.
Excellent.
Yet, because as you would know, John, it was... it wasn't celebrated when they went from Qantas to Jetstar
exactly.
and that married to the Cairns service.
Yeah, very interesting. Good on you, Nick. Thank you.
Cheers, John.
He's the executive chairman of Advanced Cairns and hosting today the boss of Qantas, Alan Joyce. Now, the time...